I'm so excited, y'all. Welcome to Recollect Season 3, Episode 6 with Victoria Scott Miller. I'm calling this episode Red Cups and Fish Fries. Well, we are two Black women who are talking about loving the books that we love, and we're musing a lot about sharing and collaborating. In this latest episode, children's book author Victoria Scott Miller and owner of Liberation Station Bookstores in Raleigh is visiting me here at her Story Garden Studios. And what starts out to be a conversation and first meeting to collaborate on my book release party and her bookstore opening this summer turns into a conversation about all the ways we put plastic on the furniture, not knowing we are keeping the good butts from sitting down in our reality. How can we as Black women remember to make the children and all the folks feel special by letting them into play? How can we as Black women discern between separating for self-preservation and separating because we have internalized, colonized notions that keep us separated and not collaborating? How do we get our instincts back? There are lots of giggles and lots of depth here in this conversation, and I ain't saying nothing else. Y'all gotta do two things for me. Well, a little more than two things. I want you to listen to this podcast and then do a couple of things. Donate to Liberation Station's fundraising campaign. They open, of course, on Juneteenth, but could use your help in bringing us this Black Southern bookstore focused on making sure our Black children get the education we intend for them to have. And spoiler alert, Liberation Station is the pre-order bookseller for my multi-generational diasporic novel, Trinity, which is, of course, released on July 4th this summer. Why? Because Frederick Douglass asked and answered the question, "What to the American slave is the 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him more than all the other days in the year the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is the constant victim." Well, Trinity done historically flipped that script on his head, and Liberation Station Bookstore is bringing you all the answers. Donate to Liberation Station Bookstore and pre-order Trinity, y'all. And if you like what you hear, subscribe to Recollect, because this podcast is listener supported. So, yep, thanks.
But I was, you know, talking about my grandmama's couch and how I was kind of tethered to the plastic of it. And I just felt like if she taught us how to care for it, then yeah. She wouldn't have had to have so much anxiety around protecting it. Mm-hmm. Because her protection, we would have inherited her protection. Too. Yeah. We would have wanted to protect it in the same way. So I'm excited that we get to do this with children. Mm-hmm. And we get to teach them early, mm-hmm. and they get to feel like this, I don't know, like monumental value of having an experience like this.
Yeah.
In their home.
Yeah, and they get to feel like special. Yeah. Because for me it directly translated when I was a little kid, mm-hmm. when somebody showed me something special or right. took me to something special and allowed me to be part of something special,
yeah.
it took away any, awe or separateness that mm-hmm. I had from that thing, and then I felt special.
Right.
And as a kid, you almost don't even have the words for that, you know.
No.
Like when your teacher takes you, when our teacher took us to this, I'm getting so many chills. Right.
Yeah.
She took us to her house.
Yeah.
And so she was, you know, it was my my eighth grade teacher. Mm. Almost all my teachers were Black, because I went to a neighborhood school.
Same.
That until they realized that. That we still were walking to school and there was no integration. Mm-hmm. We were K through 8, wow. you know, Black generations going to this school, mm-hmm. teachers living in the neighborhood. We were happy until they figured us out.
Yeah.
But this teacher, she took us to her house, mm-hmm. and it was like near the sort of Laclede's Landing neighborhood. Okay. And I just was like, oh my God, like her home was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful turn of the century house. I think it might be some reason why I've always gravitated toward old houses. This one was built in like 1920 or something.
Yeah.
you know, but I just felt so special. And then she let us play. Mm-hmm. She wasn't like, no, don't just sit.
Right.
Don't sit there.
Right.
She let us play. And we went in her yard and we played. Mm-hmm. And so we were like these 13-year-olds who were just like returned to our childhood selves because we were so happy.
Right.
You know,
right.
I have some of the books here, some of them are up, and like I said to you, some of them still have to come out of the other room after they got put away to keep them from the dust of the contractors.
Right.
But some of those books, so Maya Angelou had, before passing away, gave her niece a bunch of books, and then when the studio, when her Story Garden Studios coined itself,
mm-hmm.
After being a for everybody studio, when it coined itself for Black women in Hillsborough, where the land was, she told her niece to bring me those books.
Wow.
So I have some of her books, and those just became part of, you know, like there's, you sit on the couch and you read the books.
Yeah.
It's not like, ooh,
we gotta touch.
You gotta fill out this form,
right?
Before I let you touch that book.
Yes,
you know, it's like,
yes.
No, these are her hardcover books.
Her hardcover books.
Yeah, and you get to, and there's some that were, some that are hers.
Yeah,
some that are ones that people gave to
mm-hmm.
her. You know, that where she, you know, had, you know, another famous sister writer. You know, give her that, their hard copy of
you
their
get
books.
To live amongst these things.
I know,
and that's the beautiful. I think that's the beautiful part, is that, like, you know, we learn from touching, we learn from feeling, we learn from seeing and experiencing, and that it just matters so much. And I think I'm waiting for the moment when, you know, the anxiety kind of releases from having to have all this, like, pomp and circumstance. I mean, I worked with the museum as the only Black contractor in their 18-year history, and I got to see so many kids be like, can't be around, you know, three feet away, and all of this, don't touch, don't breathe, don't do anything, and really just to be able to release that, I think would be great.
Yeah. And which museum?
At the North Carolina Museum of Art. I did a lot of, like, laboring there, so being able to open up, like, the physical space was kind of like a deep breath for me. Because I knew what I wanted it to be. I was able to see and experience what it felt like to be in that space.
Yeah.
As the only Black woman often in the room. And to just say, I don't want that for our people at all.
I'm getting so inspired by all the things you're talking about. One, I feel like, I don't feel alone.
Yeah.
You're
not.
They're so, like, so for... I don't know, I'm going to turn 58 next month. And so for all of my adult life, I've just felt compelled wherever I lived, you know, since I was 22 years old, it just became like the space where I'm like, we need the books, we need the local artists, we need their art on the wall. And as I'm kind of getting there, I got only a couple.
No.
You know, it's like, I got to start.
Yes.
You know, it's like we need to be able to have a space where you come in and somebody's playing the guitar in one room, and I got, like, the fire going. We got, you know, so knowing that there are so many other people, and that there are people like you who are, you know, Black women who feel that way too, who are willing to take the risk, because there are risks involved.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like, for me, I have to, every time I move to a new space, I come across the same meditation that I have to do with some of my internal saboteurs, you know, which, you know, how the ways that we are kept separate are through sort of that internal invisible fencing, where we are taught to believe that our sisters and our brothers might take from us, but it's not them.
Mm-mm.
We've been stolen from all our lives by
it's the system.
White capitalism, and, you know, that will steal from you.
Yeah.
But we get taught to internalize the lie that they believe is that, no, your own kind will steal from you.
Yeah.
And so I actually, it's weird. It's only when I come to a new space, and for 20 years I was in the same space. And so I dealt with those demons, and just like the people come and go, and I have the beautiful flow of that. Right. And where you return to who you naturally know to say, I'm going to this person.
Yeah.
My instincts, this person, I'm going to have to do some work with because they can't come into my space.
Right.
Yeah, rather than that feeling in her body.
Yeah.
And so having moved and just getting ready to open back up. I mean, we've opened up to a couple of things, but we got to put the sign up. We got to you know, it's just like the city has said yes, you know. And now we're just, now it's just like, ooh. And so then it's just like, okay, now we have to deal with Zelda's feelings of that. And sometimes I hear my own fellow sisters who help me out. Mm-hmm. I hear them sometimes. Well, I'm afraid for you because of, and I'm like, ooh, that's that voice. That's that voice that keeps us from letting each other in.
Yeah. Wow, this is so confirming.
Yeah.
This is really confirming because, you know, we're originally from Memphis.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, nice. Well, yeah. I'm originally from Starkville, Mississippi.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Close to Memphis.
Yes, yeah. Yes. But, you know, I grew up around, you know, 95%, you know, black folks. My grandmama had the only indoor pool, in-ground pool and on the street. And we grew up with, you know, ad-libbing to my uncle playing the piano by ear.
Yeah.
And there was always this, like, community kind of, like, sensibility. It's like, everyone can come.
Yeah.
Everyone can come. And now I feel what you're explaining, I feel that that intuitive kind of just activate in places where I have to acknowledge the fact that everyone can't come because everyone isn't ready.
Right.
And that's the difference, right? Mm-hmm. And it feels, I mean, it's so much pressure because I just want everybody to be on board on the journey. But I think, not trying to internalize the fear that others have of my prosperity.
Right.
And the work that I'm doing, I think is,
yes, and acknowledging that. And I feel like there's so much, I mean, I've been on, you know, everybody knows this because Zelda won't quit talking about it. I've been on a journey for like maybe 3 or 4 years of very intentionally decolonizing my thoughts, my way of being in ways that I didn't even know. Like, I keep coming across new ways that I wasn't even aware of behaviors or things that I customarily do and don't do.
Yeah.
You know, for I thought particular reasons, but I realized that some of that internal coding that is not my nature.
Yeah.
You know, so with that, you know, a lot of my discernment, you know, I'm getting back about, you know, like who to trust and who not to trust, because there'll be times that my instincts will say, no. He might look like you or she might look like you, but your initial response to that particular person was no.
Yeah.
Trust that. Mm. And so it flips itself. So what I'm saying is that sometimes I don't trust myself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I buy into the sort of happy, love everybody black woman trope. You know, and I'm like, but everybody is welcome. I love everybody. Yeah. And then it's later that person
reveals themselves.
Yes. Or they stab me in the back or something. Yeah. And I'm like, dang it, why didn't I trust myself? And it's like, because you've been taught all of those things that often contradict each other.
Absolutely.
When the only voice you should be following is your instinctual, like all the other animals, your instinctual, you know, omniscient voice.
They don't look back. Right. They immediately, like, they know, they sense danger.
Mm-hmm.
They move forward boldly with command.
Right.
And, you know, it's never this thing that we do to reach back and bring people that, you know, I'm literally watching, I imagine like a herd trying to cross a river.
Yeah.
You know, they move.
Yeah.
And if someone has fallen behind or have chosen to stay, like, they don't, there's no grab and go. So it's just blowing my mind that we're having this conversation, because I realized, like, the more public I become, the tighter not only does my circle have to be, but the more I have to trust that first mind, because it could mean emotional, physical, spiritual danger.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And that and instincts are what they are in terms of our internal ecology for a reason. So it's not to be questioned. It's not to be like, well, let me investigate to see if in fact the thing that I feel, no, baby, instincts don't work like that. If you hear run, you might want to just run.
Just run. Exactly. Just run. I mean, we've been taught to kind of want to know the why of it. You know, like, why do I have to run? What's ahead of me? And it's just like, just go.
Yeah, just, you know? Just go.
And that's how God shows up in my life. Yeah. Just, I mean... It's immediate.
Yes.
Always.
Yeah.
An unwavering like doubt. Like it just falls away.
Yeah. So, and then the other joy of that is that, you know, so when I stay like open like that and allow myself to go, no about that one and not question like, well, so and so's gonna think, you know, you're being anti-black if you don't do this and that, blah, 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 blah. I also just the beauty of being way open to like when I feel like, oh, that person,
right?
I know, like internally, I know them.
Yeah,
you know, so it's so beautiful to like connect with you, and be like, hey, because I feel like I know you.
Yes, same. You know? I was like, we felt related, and I was like, girl, when you coming back? Like, are you here? Okay, and that's not a common experience,
right.
And so I'm glad that you know. I get to see you. I get to see like your soul first. Even, I mean, social media is to me is an illusion, right?
So
when you get to actually see someone for themselves, as themselves, like that just feels, that's an honor.
And yeah, and to come into their space. And so when I'm sitting here and you coming up the walk, I'm like, oh,
she here.
There she is. Cousin Victoria.
Yeah, no, for real. Like I just felt completely like at home, and it just, you know, I always say it always feels like red cups and fish fries. You know? Like, and that's what we do. That's how you know, like, you my people.
Yeah.
Is if we can commune in that way. Yeah. And that feels good.
And that's the kind of, so the book release party.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get with the book release party. Great. That was the problem with looking at venues, and I was like, nope. I see what's in the book of these people having a family cookout, even if it's not no big thing that they planned. Mm-hmm. It was just like so and so went in the backyard and
space,
cleaned up the picnic
and
table, and then here come Uncle Leonard, here come Uncle James, and then then we was all in the backyard, just you know, and we got the grill going, and you
That's
know,
it.
So it's like I want that you know for my party, and I want it here because that's the space that I cultivate, and I want to get over all of my things of now I've moved to a new space and I've got to do battle with those demons again that say. That say, maybe you won't have the instincts to know who can come into your space and who won't. And it's like, and I have to talk to that part of myself and say, I understand with myself that home is so important because it's the only place in my life, in my black, you know, released into enemy territory, human in America, where I can be. And don't nobody get to say shit about what I get to do and don't do.
Right.
You know, it's the only place where that is true. And it's like, I also have to have this conversation with myself and say, I understand that now you've moved to a new space and you got to feel all those feelings again.
Yeah.
But you have always known who can come and who can't. So don't trick yourself, because that's how we get isolated.
Get caught
from,
up.
Exactly. from the ones who you do need to be connected to.
It's
just like, we just like wash them all away and say, I can't, you know, I don't do people.
Yeah,
you
know, we go inward real quick.
I know some black women who be like, I don't do people.
Yep.
It's like,
Yeah, because you're not listening. That's why you're not doing people.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you don't
people. Like, no one. Everybody cut off. Yeah.
I know, that's like saying, I don't drink water.
No,
it's
seriously.
Like,
I mean, that's a thing.
Yeah.
So, but you know. And honestly, especially like with the whole publishing industry, like they make you feel like it has to be this thing.
Yeah.
You know, this tangible, like in kind of like a book bookstore at a table thing rather than a celebration of a body of work. You know, any body of work, I think, is an act of labor
and birthing. Right.
And it should be celebrated in a way that feels connected to the work that you've created.
Yeah.
And that is... Yeah.
Yeah. But I've done such a new like headspace. Like, I've been coming into things. So this is the fourth book. This is the fourth of my novels. This is the second of my novels with Major Press, because I was with Simon & Schuster.
Yeah.
This is the third book in a row with HarperCollins. Yeah. But in this third book in a row era of my life, even with being back in university era of my life, because there was some stuff that is just like my foot got put down, where what I've realized is that, so I don't come into, so let me say two things.
Yeah.
One is that something that I've always believed I've begun to live in, which is that any space that we enter is as changed by us as we are by it. Mm-hmm. And that is even if you walk into a white boardroom.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, that's a black boardroom.
Mm-hmm. Because you're there.
Yeah. And so what I mean then by I began to like live in that and manifest that is like my wisdom has connected with my intellectual knowing.
Yeah.
And now when I walk into those spaces, I don't think to do contradiction or battle or I got to show them. It doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I take all of me with me wherever I go to the extent where I walk in, I'm saying the thing that is going to happen.
We say
right. Like we're going to do.
Yeah.
And they just kind of like, it's usually like 10 beats later that I realize that they are just like, yes, ma'am.
Right.
You know, not because I'm like treating people a certain kind of way or showing them that, you know, I've got to be forceful with you, but because
you were sure.
I was sure, exactly. And that certainty, people tend to go, oh, okay, we were kind of looking for who knew.
I trust you because you trust you.
Exactly. And you happy as hell about it.
Listen, I want to go where she going because she trusts herself.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's the goddess in us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's that beauty of that grace, yeah,
just to move.
You know? I gotta show you the back.
I'm excited. Like, this is like, I feel so at home though. I feel like I've been over here before, which is right. So interesting.